Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and a very welcome to Liveline. And Joe at RT.ie and 51551, wash your hands. It was powerful images last night on RT Investigates, putting television where it's strongest in terms of portraying the images. You've heard the stories on Liveline going back 3 months now at this stage, but to actually see the people in the ICUs is shocking, and a reminder that the frontline staff are working up to 12 hours, not just in that PPE gear, it is tough enough, but 12 hours stretch now, given the level and the heaviness of the work in every sense of the word. And now we discover that the lowest of the low are targeting the cars belong to frontline workers who were in the hospitals doing 12-hour shifts, saving our lives. And they've it's a catalytic converter scam again. We've seen it. We've done it numerous times. They used to do hotel car parks. Then they moved to B&Q car parks. And now, realising that the staff of the hospitals are gone for 12 hours, they've targeted Beaumont Hospital. Dr. Laura Durkin is medical director in Beaumont. Laura, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks. What's been happening?
Oh, so it's a miserable kind of a story. So in the last couple of weeks, we've run into this problem where our staff car parks are being targeted by these people who are taking both the exhaust and the catalytic converters off the older model cars in the car parks. We have a huge big surface car park for the staff, and it's quite far, you know, from the main hospital. Mm-hmm. And so I suppose those vehicles are probably a little bit, well, they shouldn't be, but they're considered a bit more vulnerable.
Okay.
And one of the interns came to me yesterday. So our interns would be our newest doctors.
Yeah.
So these are people who've just graduated and have come to help us straight from university. You know, these are guys, they'd be kind of waiting on the first paycheck, the big student loans. And I suppose more likely to be driving older cars. And they came to say that this had been happening to them. And I suppose since then, there's been lots of people coming out to say that the same had happened to them. And we've had multiple stories now of people coming out from long days or unexpectedly coming out in the middle of the day to the car park when it's usually very quiet, and catching these people in the act. And I suppose we're really quite horrified because I'm really proud of what everyone's been doing, and I think most people in Ireland have been really behind everyone who's at the coalface and looking after patients. But this is kind of a miserable story, and it's really one that we're a little bit horrified by.
And is it obvious that it's a staff car park?
It is, yeah.
There's loads of signs. So they know what they're doing. They know who they're targeting.
They do, yeah.
Which is pretty miserable is probably not an adequate word at this stage for people to target the cars. And as you say, they're older cars, which means probably the cost to replace the catalytic converters probably exceeds the value of the car.
Yeah, so one of the interns came up to me today on the ward to say that his car, the catalytic converter and the exhaust had been taken from it, and that outweighed the value of the car. So we had to declare his car a write-off. The poor fella now, no car, no way of getting to work. You know, and I suppose the truth is that we're then putting quite high-risk people onto buses and, it's a horrible situation. Now, I suppose, you know, the guards were out, Joe, and they were very helpful, but it does seem, like you said, that it's a kind of a huge problem that people are having. And I suppose for us, it's just, we're just kind of annoyed, really.
And it's a slick operation they have. They're in and out in a couple of minutes. Now, Fatima Alaya Kenny. Fatima, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hi, Joe.
You're a medical student and you're a midwife in Rotunda, but you happen to be visiting the Beaumont staff car park. What happened?
Yeah, I was actually collecting my car from a friend in that staff car park that Dr. Durkin was describing. And lo and behold, there was a gentleman at the bonnet of the car, and he was unpicking the bonnet. So he had a handheld blade in his left hand, and he had jacked up the Honda Civic, and he was trying to tell us that this was his car and he was trying to fix his car. So once, obviously, I came to the car, I, you know, confronted him as much as I could politely, without getting too upset. But he just didn't speak. And then he very quickly unjacked the car, took the blade out and ran away and got into another car.
And who owns the car that he was trying to damage?
My own.
Oh,
my
it's own. Your, oh, hello, it's yours. So you go up to him. I have this photograph here. I wish we could tweet this photograph, because if we could, this lowlife would be caught within an hour, I'd say, targeting the cars of frontline workers. So he's at your car and he has the neck to say to you, this is my car.
Yeah, my friend was meeting me. I was collecting my car from her, and he was trying to tell her that that was his car. And obviously, when I came on the scene to collect the car, it was just perfect timing. And obviously, very clearly told him that was my car. And sure, my hospital ID staff was in the front window.
Yeah.
So I don't think he could have been a Fatima Alea. So, and he just really pegged it. That was it.
And he looks around 25, 26, does he?
Yeah, he looks like a young gentleman, yeah.
Yeah. Tracksuit bottoms, his white socks, his runners, his boxers showing. That's all the top head shaved at the back. And he has a number of tools in his hand. What are they?
It seems like it was a jack sort of in his right hand and some sort of left blade, small size hand-sized blade in the left hand. Later on, when I managed, it was a very long, embarrassing and very stressful drive back to the garage near home. And he had actually sliced off half of the,
I see
half
that
of the
now.
Catalytic converter. Yeah. And he had cut the wires as well. So luckily, in this case, you know, I was very fortunate that, you know, the catalytic converter was actually still there.
But he's damaged your car.
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, you know, much like what Dr. Durkin is saying, like, you go in to do an honest day's work and, you know, to do your best. And that's kind of what everybody's trying to do in every capacity. Mm-hmm. And then you come out at 2 o'clock, you know, and the car is vandalized. So, yeah, absolutely. It's really horrifying.
Has anyone tweeted? I'd be afraid. The lads here, we're not allowed to tweet his face because GDPR, we'd be in the High Court. And we'd be told this fella is not doing anything wrong and we can't prejudge him, even though he's bent down over the car, your car. It's clear now he's damaged the car. It's clear he's interfering with the car. It's clear he has three tools at least, and one in his left hand. He's up to no good. I wonder, can we crop his head off, so to speak, and people might be able to identify him, because it is a vicious thing to do, to target frontline staff in the middle of a pandemic and destroy their cars, basically. Render their cars worthless, because as Dr. Durkin has pointed out, the cars, by definition, that have catalytic converters are older cars. Older cars are cheaper cars. Cheaper cars is what young interns, if they can afford it, that's what they can go for. And then when the catalytic converter is whipped off and whatever damage they do, they don't care in getting the catalytic converter out, the damage exceeds the value of the car.
Absolutely. And like, these things cost, they can sell them on for anything between 100 to 500 euro, you know, and it costs us about 600 to 1,000 euro to replace and fit it. So it's just absolutely scandalous, I think, you know, to sink to that level, you know, when there are people that are working so hard to protect and, you know, mind each other. It's just, you know, it's really shocking and it really makes you question what humanity has come to at this stage. You know, it's a real solid moment. I personally was absolutely distraught, and I know the intern yesterday, you know, it was through a friend that I heard, and I contacted that intern just out of solace, you know, to give a bit of comfort, to say you're not the only one. And it turns out that there are several interns in the last couple of weeks, in fact, in the last couple of months. So I just think that a little bit of, you know, highlighting this is key, because I just think, you know, it has to come to an end. And as Dr. Durkin said, the guards have been very good, and I called on the day. And they actually, you know, they came and they were very supportive, and they followed up briefly to say that they're looking into things. So things are definitely moving in the right direction. It's just such a shame that this is happening so regularly and ongoing as well, you know. So hopefully things will settle.
But the other thing you mentioned, Fatima, is that your ID, a sticker or whatever, identifying you as a frontline worker, medic, you said that would... He would have seen that, I presume, in the front of the car. Well, it was a staff car park. He knew where he was going. But he would have also seen that you were actually a medic.
Well, yeah, I had my midwife pass. And I mean, your guess is as good as mine whether he saw it or not. Yeah. But I presume that he may have had a little glance. But however, whether he did or didn't, it didn't seem to stop him, you know.
Yeah. Did you show the guards the photograph?
Oh, yeah. We sent the photos on to them as they requested. So, yeah.
Because he's pretty identifiable, isn't he?
Well,
what do you think?
If it's not by his face, it's definitely by his gears and his boxers anyway.
I thought you were going to say if it's not by his face, it's by his bum.
Oh, no, not at all.
But we'll tweet the photograph, obviously with his head chopped off, so to speak. And maybe somebody can identify him from his gear, or maybe he will see it himself and know that you're onto him and the guards are onto him. By the way, who had the presence of mind to take the photograph?
Yeah, my friend, I was collecting the car from. Yeah,
fair
absolutely.
Play.
We were, I was pretty horrified trying to speak to him.
Fatima, did he say anything? Did he say anything?
No, he didn't. No, he said absolutely nothing to me. No.
And how did he get away?
He seemed to have had somebody with him in another car, in a Ford Focus, and they were parked parallel behind us, and he just sort of walked off, ran into the car, and then they both drove off. So we managed to get actually a picture of the registration of the car that he went into. So, so we have that as well, which is great. So hopefully the guards will be able to follow up with that even more.
And so the fact that he didn't say a word means there's no way of even identifying his accent or where he might be from or whatever. Okay. Is there CCTV in that car park, Laura, Dr. Dorkin?
So I don't think there's CCTV up that far end of the car park where I think Fatima was parked.
Unfortunately. Okay. Well, I'm sorry your work has been and people's livelihoods have been interfered with like that. Hopefully it'll stop and hopefully the Gardaí will catch them. How are things in Beaumont at the moment, Laura?
Oh, look, we need, now that things are kind of have settled down, we're getting back to business as usual, Joe, and it's only a pleasure to look after patients and get back to seeing people in person.
Great. Well done, everybody. And it's extraordinarily hard work you're doing and important work. Fatima, how are things in the rotunda?
Yeah, much like what Dr. Durkin is saying, things are settling back into a bit more of a normal routine.
Okay. Thanks again, Fatima. Thanks, Dr. Laura Dorkin, both. Dr. Laura Dorkin is the medical director in Beaumont Hospital about the cars of frontline staff being targeted for the catalytic converters, which are worth a couple of hundred quid, but they basically end the life of the car of people who can't afford cars or are stretched to afford cars, as Dr. Dorkin said.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. By the way, we tweeted a photograph with the man's head, the thief's head chopped off, so to speak. But as with social media, other people have now got their hands on a full photograph of this fella robbing the car of the frontline health worker. And that's gone viral at the minute, so I can't do anything about that except to tell them that it's against GDPR, they'd be onto you like a light. Niall McCaughey. Niall, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
I know you have a big interest in cars, but Fatima was saying, and Laura was saying that the cars where they're robbing, they're obviously older, the catalytic converters are only on older cars, but they're actually, the cost of fixing the car exceeds the value of the car. What are they doing with these catalytic converters?
Well, the catalytic converter contains a precious metal mixture of platinum and palladium, and it's rare and it's expensive. And to sell it, you have to go through a scrap dealer, pretty much. Now, I used to be a plumber, so it's something I'm familiar with. I'm not in the motor trade, although I've been scratching my knuckles on old cars for about 49 years, I reckon, at this stage. I was very young, Joe.
Okay.
But you have to like copper and other metals that get stolen from houses and so forth, the only thing that somebody can do with them is to make value out of them, to process them through a scrap dealer. So particularly something like a catalytic converter. Now, with copper cylinders, they can come from anywhere. There are lots of plumbers around and so forth, and there's lots of folks who might bring their old metal in for recycling or to make a few quid. But catalytic converters are different. There are very few people who change their own broken catalytic converters. Plenty of cars go through their entire lives without ever changing a catalytic converter.
Yeah.
And very few people would do it themselves because it's a horrible job. exhausts are very hard to work on because they're mm-hmm. the nuts all rust and freeze with the heat. They're very hard to shift. Even in my case, I've been doing most jobs in a car, but a lot of the time, unless it's a very simple job, I'll bring an exhaust down to be done through a special, you know, drive-in exhaust fitting place, like most people do. So very, very few people, private citizens, are going to have a catalytic converter in their hands unless the entire car comes with it. The motor trade, of course, will have plenty, and the exhaust fitters will have plenty, but you've got a very limited number of sources. So if somebody shows up at a scrap dealer's with their knickers hanging out and a catalytic converter in their hand, 99 times out of 100, you're going to smell a rat. So a simple solution is to clamp down on the dodgy scrap dealers, and the requirement could be made, I mean, again, is it a bylaw? I don't know how you do it. You know, is it a? Would you pass a small act? What do you have to do?
A statutory instrument. Like one thing that the pandemic has taught us, Niall, is that we can change laws very, very quickly
when we want to.
None of this 2 years, 3 years. We can change laws. That's one change can happen overnight, and good change in the way we do things. So why can't we just, instead of debating this left, right, and centre, you're saying your proposal is what, that any scrap dealer.
Do a statutory instrument and make a scrap dealer, when they take in a catalytic converter, they take in the registration number of the vehicle from which it came, and they get a photo ID, and they simply take a picture of the whole thing, and there it's in the records, and those records are available, should be made available to the guard the owner request. So if somebody, you'll soon spot a pattern. If the same registration number, the same person's face turns up at different dealers, or if the same person shows up with the same registration number more than once, there are questions to be asked, and you can follow it back.
Okay. Well spotted.
It won't stop it, but it'll slow it down.
But to think that they are putting frontline workers off the road onto public transport, and Dr. Dorkin pointed out, who's a medical director in Beaumont, we don't want their staff going on public transport for two reasons. One, we don't want to put them in harm's way, even though that's their lives at the minute in harm's way on our behalf. And secondly, they don't want to put the public in harm's way because they're working in a scenario where there is COVID. But they're putting these frontline workers off the road for what, a couple of hundred quid?
It's a nasty, mean, small-minded little crime, and it could be easily reduced.
Okay, well put. Okay, so why don't we do this? A statutory instrument overnight. All scrap dealers, the following applies. If someone presents with a catalytic converter, you get photo ID. You can take a photograph of them as well with your phone, and you get an address. And you give that to the Gardaí if they need it. Let me bring Annette in. Annette, your point, please.
My point is that as a frontline worker for the past 40 years, that I find that hospitals have abdicated responsibility for security in their car parks. Mm-hmm. Bicycles, cars, they've been damaged and stolen for years. But, you know, where we pay dearly for parking spaces in the workplace, in hospitals.
Yeah.
Hospitals make a profit from these car parks. Where is security and where are the cameras?
Okay, you're... But the bottom line is even like we did this so many times before, but the catalytic converters, Annette. I'm not. By the way, what you say is true. That's you were the one that was there. But surely the issue here is these people deliberately targeting the car parks, which are solely occupied by frontline health workers who they know. Anyone that's been following the pandemic knows, and they were working like this long before the pandemic, are working 12-hour shifts.
That's correct.
So I take your point. Because, say, for example, it was happening a lot up in Liffey Valley. This is about 18 months ago, and we were doing it day after day after day. They have CCTV in Liffey Valley. They have very good mobile security. But these guys are so slick at doing it. I've seen videos of them doing it. It's like you know, when a Formula One car pulls into a pit in at a Grand Prix or whatever, the eight fellas are waiting or eight women are waiting, and they whip the wheels off and up it goes and down it goes and it's back out again within 22 seconds. That's the type of operation these guys have. They're so slick at it. But as Niall said, they're doing so much damage for so little return. But anyway, I take your point. Maybe there should be bigger effort into...
I think hospitals are smaller, more controlled places than Liffey Valley. Yeah. And I think there hasn't been an interest in protecting the frontline workers in the car parks, you know, even from a security point of view.
Yeah. Okay, Inez, yeah.
It's not new.
Okay, point well made.
Thank you.
Thanks, Annette, and thanks, Niall McCaughey. Thank you both. 51551, my chance.